It's really, 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 really good to see you all this morning. I don't get to come through here too often, so in the moments that I do, it really is my greatest privilege. And honestly, for those who don't know, my name's Dane. I'm the youth pastor at NLCC, but you have, not to brag on your service, but probably the best students at NLCC across our campuses. So yeah, just be proud. Yorkson is a really great campus, and I love, love, love every opportunity to be here. It's my privilege to be continuing our journey through Colossians this morning. And you get a jump start on the future because I'm preaching here this week and then preaching at Walnut Grove next week, the same message. So you actually get to hear Colossians 2 before any other campus. So, which is also really cool because, as you will find out soon, Colossians 2 is where Paul actually states like the main point of the whole of Colossians. So I feel like they, you know, saved the best past. No, I'm kidding. I was talking to Daniel at the back before the service, which was quite apt because he was talking about how he does sort of investments and the stock market and sort of that thing. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is that we all invest in something in our lives. Every single one of us invests time, energy, money. We invest things in our lives. So it could be finances. I know crypto is a big one. Could be emotionally. I know I invest emotionally a lot in my kids. I invest emotionally in my students. It could be even our dreams, like we invest emotionally in the things that we dream about. Relationally, in our marriages. I listen to audiobooks, not read them, but I'm listening to Emotionally Healthy Leader, and he speaks so much about living life out of a healthy marriage as opposed to living a healthy life and then having, you know, trying to fit in a healthy marriage. But, you know, we invest time in our marriages. Spiritually, we invest time in prayer and reading scripture and being around people in life groups and life together and things like that. And maybe some oddly very specific things that we invest in, stuff like Taylor Swift concerts or merch or coffee gear. I'm a bit of a coffee snob. One of the things I recently transitioned to is making sure I always have freshly roasted coffee. It needs to have a roasted date on the bottom. There's no other way. Okay, so we all invest in something, and Paul is going to be telling us what is worth investing our lives in most today, and so I'm excited to be bringing that to you. When I was a little bit younger and sort of in the crypto boom, I invested my home electricity in mining crypto, and for those who don't know what that is basically you use your graphics card, and it does a whole bunch of calculations constantly, and as it does calculations, it rewards you with little pieces of crypto, and then as that happens, the crypto boom happened, and all of that crypto got worth more and more and more, and I ended up being able to pay our hospital bills for my second son, James, with that crypto money, and I got to buy myself a brand new iPad. Which is great, right? On the same vein, I had a friend who... A friend told this friend that, oh, you should invest, it's going crazy. He invested, and then it cut by a third, so he lost a third of his money. So there's also negatives to investing, as Daniel will tell you. But also, I know many of you here have had similar experiences to me, but things like immigration. Like, we invest so much time, energy, even money in immigrating. For us, it's Canada. To come to Canada, we invest so much to do that because we think or feel that it is worth it. And when I did this journey to come to Canada, like, I gave up family, I gave up friends, I gave up a beautiful home on a nature preserve, I gave up comfort, you know, everything was set, everything was moving. I gave up all of that to go to something that was unknown, because I deemed that it was worth it. And the worth that we had for ourselves, Carrie and myself, was that our kids needed something different. Like, the education system in South Africa wasn't going to work for our kids. And so we were willing to invest all of this in our children. But not only that, the joy of being people who love Jesus is we also had a sense that God was doing something in our lives. And so that was worth investing in. But we can also risk investing in things that don't have worth and don't have meaning. And a couple of things that I can remember, in fact, not just remember, but I still do, is trying to do DIY projects at home. And spending so much time watching YouTube videos, buying all the materials, and then just messing it up completely. Spending a whole day wasting time and messing it up. My recent project that I tried to do was I bricked my car radio because I tried to upload some custom firmware on it. And then I tried to like flash, this is all technical terms, just ignore me if you don't know what I'm talking about, but I tried to flash it and got all of the software and bought cables and spent a whole day doing it, and at the end of the day, my radio was still bricked, and I wasted a whole day of time and a whole bunch of money buying all this equipment. Like, I invested a lot, I got frustrated at the end of the day, and it was worth nothing. Probably even worse than that was I used to invest in computer magazines that came out every month. I bought two different computer magazines every month, probably for around 4 or 5 years. So you can work out how many magazines there were. There were hundreds of them. all they ended up doing was being stuck in my cupboard in this like hole. There was like this beautiful magazine-shaped hole that fit all my books in there. But to me, I'm like, I invested so much in this. This is going to be worth something one day. They're not going to be worth something one day. So a funny story is, as I'm packing up to come to Canada 4 years ago, I still have those magazines from like when I was a teenager, and I still inside of me was like, oh, you know, I invested so much in these, I kind of like, I should bring them with. I'm like, no, it's so dumb. So we invest in things that don't have worth and don't have meaning, and we also invest in things that do have worth and meaning. And Paul is going to try and tell us what is worth investing our lives in today. The truth is that we all don't know what is 100% worth investing in, or how much time we should invest in things. And that's why there's people like experts who we go to, financial experts, spiritual experts, all of those sort of things that we invest our time in or give our time to so that we can invest in a wiser way. And right here, Paul is our expert on all things religious and all things spiritual. And so when we think about investing, Paul is the guy that we've got to be thinking, hey, I need to listen to this guy. He knows what he's talking about. And so Paul here in Colossians, he's trying to address, there was a bunch of false teachers that were around in the city of Colossae, and he was trying to address the church in Colossae to stay firm. Invest in what is worth investing in. Invest in the thing that's going to give you a good and high return, as opposed to investing in things that aren't true, and knowledge that isn't going to lead anywhere. Paul wanted to show the Colossians that they should stand firm, they should invest their whole lives and not turn to this false teaching. In the ancient world, knowledge was one of the most important things. If you attained knowledge, you were high in society. But there was also good knowledge, and there was knowledge that didn't help anybody or was not true. And I think the same is true today. We have knowledge that is beneficial and growing and helpful. And there's also people who put out there their own knowledge. If you think about social media influencers, we have so many people who are going like, I've got the best fix for this, or I've got the secret hack to this, or, you know, the life hack for this thing. Doesn't matter where you look in the world. Someone has some kind of knowledge that is better than the knowledge that you have, and you should listen to them because they are the expert. Today, we want to make sure that we're listening to the expert, and ultimately, we can think of a whole of scripture for that, but the expert when it comes to what is really worth investing in. As I was doing research for this, I am a kind of person who, like, as I research, I go down rabbit holes, and so I started watching YouTube videos and got into some debate videos of Christians debating with nihilists, and a nihilist is a person who doesn't believe there's any meaning in life. There's no purpose to anything. You know, morals are useless. There's, you know, why bother with anything because nothing is worth anything, which sounds like a terrible outlook on life. But they were debating, like Christians were debating, saying there is meaning. Like Jesus has brought ultimate meaning. But this is one of the fundamental knowledge things in the world today that many people go towards, and it's this idea that there is no ultimate truth. You can believe whatever works for you. I'm sure you've heard that. Whatever's for you is good for you. Life is meaningless. Just enjoy the ride. That's where YOLO came from in the first place. But today we want to look at how Paul responds to these false teachers. What does Paul see as ultimate truth? And what does Paul see as most valuable? The interesting thing that we'll see is that Paul is willing to stake his life on this. We don't stake our lives on something we don't see as valuable or important. We never do. But Paul was willing to stake his life on this. N.T. Wright says this, Paul says that all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. And that's what we're going to read today. So let's read Colossians 2, verse 1 to 7. Sorry, could someone just bring me a glass of water? Oh, a cup of water? Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's read Colossians 2, verse 1 to 7. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal, Paul's goal, is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you. Thank you so much. That no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Those knowledgeable people, fine-sounding arguments, they sound great. For though I am absent from you in body, Paul is actually in prison writing this, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we do want to know what is worth investing in. Lord, there's so many things that want to pull our time, our energy, our emotions. But Lord, we want to put those things in places that are going to benefit us, not just in the long run, but in eternity. And so today we want to pray that your Holy Spirit would challenge our hearts, not just the words that are spoken, but your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Paul was so serious about Jesus. For him, in this passage, it was Christ alone, Christ alone, Christ alone. When we look at Paul's life, we look across the letters, and I actually had to cut a bunch out because I was like, I can't say all of this stuff, but you just see over and over and over and over again, Paul saying his value is Christ, but not only Christ, Christ and people. The greatest commandment, love God, love others. That was what Paul would live and die for. Philippians 3 says, I count everything as loss compared to knowing Christ. Everything else is loss compared to knowing Christ. Galatians 2, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. My life's gone. It's all about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing else has meaning. No knowledge in this world is better than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Acts 20, my life is worth nothing, only that I finish the race and complete the task that Jesus gave me. Here is a man who knew what value was, what worth was, and was willing to invest everything in that. For someone who doesn't have the knowledge of something being worth something, you wouldn't be willing to give all of that like Paul did. And there were three parables that I thought about as I was thinking about this immense worth. One of them is the parable of the hidden treasure. You remember that a guy who goes into a field, finds this treasure, buries it up, and then goes away. And the way that the scripture sort of speaks about it, it's kind of like he was thinking about it and like, oh, I have to do something about this. This treasure is so amazing. And he goes and sells everything he has so that he can buy this field to have this treasure. That's how valuable Jesus is to Paul. There's the parable of the pearl of great price, and there's this merchant who hunts for the best pearls that there are out there. And he finds one that's like, I've never seen a pearl like this before. And same story, like he sells everything so that he can gain this one pearl of great price. Again, Paul sees Jesus Christ as this pearl. And then the last story, which is a little bit different, is the woman who gave those two small coins that weren't worth much in that day and wouldn't be worth much today. But Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, like, there's that woman who gave the two coins and then there's these people who are giving lots and lots of money. And he says, that woman gave everything she had. Which do you think is greater in the kingdom? And like, it's hard to answer, oh, it's the rich people who gave some of their money. No, like the person who gave everything. Because when we see something as worth it, which is what we, when we say worship, it means that we're giving worth to Jesus. When we see something as worth it, we're willing to give it all for that, or for him. I mentioned already like the story of coming to Canada, like the goal of having our kids have the support that they needed for their diversities, that was worth giving up every comfort that we had on the other side of the world. The knowledge that we were doing this not against God's will, but within it, gave us the comfort to give it all up, because we're doing this for our family and we're doing this for Jesus. That is worth it. Paul must have known that there was something really significant about this, because he would never have given up his life. He would never have gone to prison intentionally for people and for Jesus, but this was worth something to him. Now, as I was thinking about this, I sort of thought about treasure hunting movies. How many of you like a good treasure hunting movie? my favorite is National Treasure. Do you know National Treasure? It's pretty good. One of the better Nicolas Cage options, but yeah, there's some like not yeah, good. In most treasure hunting movies, it starts out with this explorer or archaeologist or something that's like, there's a fabled treasure and it's out there, but everyone else is like, no, the treasure doesn't exist, but this guy believes it exists. Then suddenly this piece of evidence shows up and it suddenly sets him alight, and he's runs out the door, you know, leaving behind half his stuff, and sets out on this adventure to find this treasure. But you know how it goes. There's always these bad guys who want to try and get that treasure for themselves, and they're going to use it for selfish gain, sell it to make millions, but this adventurer, explorer, he wants to, you know, give it to a museum so the whole world can benefit from the worth of this treasure. And that's kind of like every treasure hunt story has this sort of framework, which is really interesting. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about like Paul here. And Paul, when he's trying to address the Colossians here, he's trying to let them see that it's kind of like this treasure. I know who this treasure is. This treasure is Jesus. But there are these other people who are trying to steal this treasure and use it for their selfish gain. They want to say that their knowledge is greater, their knowledge is better, and they're doing it so that they can amass people towards themselves. But Paul never amasses attention towards himself. If you look at any of his writings, Paul amasses attention towards Jesus. And that's kind of a sign to us that this treasure is something unique. Because you look around us in the world and people are trying to get attention towards themselves. We mentioned social media influencers. It's all about how many more followers I can get. No matter what advice they have for you, it's about how many more followers they can get. Paul is passionate about this secret of Jesus. And it wasn't a secret anymore, because Jesus came and he died and he rose. And he wants to warn these people in Colossians that following Jesus isn't this flashy thing that all of these teachers were sort of trying to be. It's not flashy like the social media influences. It's something deep and it's something rooted, which we will read. Paul says in Philippians 3, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Everything that he gives up, everything about Jesus is worth more. That's how Paul saw this whole thing here. I love what Tim Keller says. He says, if there is no God, you will have to turn something else into a God, and that will break your heart. We're all going to make something worth a God in our lives, all of us. Something is going to be worth our worship. Something is going to be worth our energy and our effort. And when we make things like knowledge, partners, family, friends our God, at some stage that's going to break our hearts. Because every single one of those things fail, and every single one of those things don't have the surpassing knowledge that Paul understood that Jesus Christ had. In the last 2 months, I went through a really rough period. I I have some tough moments with my kids. I've sort of alluded to it in coming here that our kids need extra supports. And one of the moments really shook me. And that just happened to be in the midst of a busier season at work and a bunch of other life circumstances. I found out my mom's got cancer. But all of these things came to a point where I sort of hit like a mental breakdown. And I just spent like the whole morning crying, realized, hey, I'm not okay. And I was just reflecting for the sermon back on that, and I was thinking about it, and I was going, you know what, like, what I was doing in those moments was all of those things, they are important. Like, we shouldn't be ignoring our family and our work and our kids, but all of those things had become the pinnacle of what was important in my life. And when all of those things aren't going according to plan, suddenly, like, my life crashes because I don't have control, like, over any of that stuff. And I'm happy to say that I'm in a much better place now. But, you know, even me, like, has these moments where I place my worth in something else that is not going to last. And something, you know, I can't control what's happening with my kids. I can be a good parent, but I can't control it. And so we want to know today, not just like Paul saying what, he's going, yeah, okay, Christ alone. But does Paul actually tell us how? Because I need to know how. And I know you need to know how. Well, I'm glad you asked, because he definitely does. Colossians 2 verse 67 says this. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I mentioned at the beginning that this is the first time that Paul is bringing out a command in Colossians. He's transitioning here from his sort of introduction in Colossians to the meat of his message. And this verse 6 and 7 is sort of the middle point, the main point. I'll read it one more time. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. This is his main point of Colossians. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. There's three things I want to quickly bring out to you from what Paul is saying here. Firstly, and I won't touch long on this one, but the first and foremost thing is you've received Christ. And maybe some of you haven't received Christ here. Can I say that there is nothing in this world and in this life that is worth greater than Jesus Christ? Nothing. And it doesn't just say receive Christ, it says continue in him. And what he says after this is how we're going to continue with him. So that's the first thing he says, receive Christ and continue with him. But the second thing he says, which we'll spend the majority of the rest of our time on, is being rooted and built up in him. It's a really beautiful thing, rooted and built up. The scholars, when they read this, sort of see rooted as a horticultural term and built up as a construction term, which gives this idea of rooted being deep and going down, and built up being high and strong. But what comes first? It's the rooted. And Paul knew this, being rooted. I've got a couple pictures for you on the screen. Firstly, there's a picture of a tree on a riverbank. Is the best picture I could find, I'm sorry. I had better pictures in my mind, and maybe some of you graphic designers I could have asked to do this for me. But there's this principle with rivers, with trees that grow on river banks, that their roots grow inwards, and as the river bank sort of washes away the soil under the tree, the roots actually go further and further into the bank. And the beautiful thing of that is, like a storm will come and the river will come, and as it sort of wriggles that tree, the tree's roots move further and further into the bank, and it actually becomes stronger than it was when it was just straight down in the ground. It's a really cool illustration of how roots work on a riverbank. And for us as well, like when the storms of life, like I mentioned, like the tough moments in my life that recently happened, when those things come, if we are investing in our roots, we will actually become stronger at the outcome of it, because the roots are being planted firmly into the side, even when the storms, even when the rivers rage. The second picture I have is that of sequoia trees, well, the roots. So sequoia trees grow up to sort of 100 meters high. And I don't know if you knew this about sequoia trees, but their roots only go between 1.5 and 3.5 meters deep. So just so you know, I'm more than 1.5 meters deep. Yet this tree grows 100 meters high. But the beauty of a sequoia tree is that its roots grow 60 to 80 meters wide. And it interconnects with the other sequoia tree's roots. It's really cool and really beautiful. And here's another principle of this thing of being rooted, is sometimes roots go deep, but sometimes roots also go wide and we interconnect with each other. That's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of life together. God created roots not just for depth, but for community and being together. And then the last picture I have is just a little bit of some intricacy of roots. And I thought it was really interesting. I had a whole bunch more images like this, but are the plants above or the roots below more intricate? It's the roots below, right? Like the roots below, which are the parts that we don't actually even see, they're more intricate than the plants above. Yeah, there's beauty above and we see fruit above, but the roots are more intricate. And you'll see one of the roots go like really, really deep into the ground. There's a root that goes like straight down. It's called a taproot. And the reason it goes so deep is because there's no nutrients in the top half of the soil, and so it has to go really deep to find those nutrients in the water that it needs. And so there's a principle here as well when we think about roots that we also need to go really deep, because sometimes the surface, like we've sort of sucked up all the nutrients that we already have there, and so we have to go deeper. And so I just wanted to give you some pictures of these roots. I'm sure there's many other illustrations we could have from roots, but we can go wide and interconnect with other people, with life together. We can be on the side of a bank and go stronger and stronger through every storm of life. We can go deep to try and find the nutrients that they are. But the point is that roots are so important. But roots aren't just so important. I sort of alluded to it already, but roots aren't visible. They're not flashy. You don't go out bragging about your roots. You know, you brag about your flowers, you brag about, you know, how tall you are or how big your branches are, not your roots. But yet the roots, as Paul tells us, are the most important part. I was thinking about this whole thing, actually last night, this came to me as I was thinking about this. And a lot of you know the movie Encanto. Well, there's, I can't remember what the girl's name is, but she writes the song called Surface Pressure. You know it? I'll read it. Try not to sing along. but just see, like, if you relate to this in your own life. Because honestly, the first time I heard this song when I watched the movie, I actually wept. Because there's been moments in my life that I felt a lot like this. I'm the strong one. I'm not nervous. I'm as tough as the crust of the earth is. I move mountains, I move churches, and I glow because I know what my worth is. I don't ask how hard the work is. Got a rough, indestructible surface, diamonds and platinum. I find them, I flatten them. I take what I'm handed, I break what's demanded. But under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can't be of service. A flaw or a crack, the straw in the stack that breaks the camel's back. What breaks the camel's back? It's pressure, like a drip, drip, drip that never stops. Pressure that'll tip, tip, tip till you just go pop. Give it to your sister. Your sister's older. Give her all the heavy things we can't shoulder. Who am I if I can't run with the ball? If I fall to pressure like a grip, 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 and it won't let go. Pressure like a tick, tick, tick till it's ready to blow. Give it to your sister. Your sister's stronger. See if she can hang on a little longer. Who am I if I can't carry it all, if I falter? Then it goes on to say, under the surface, I hide my nerves and it worsens. I worry something is going to hurt us. Under the surface, the ship doesn't swerve as it heard how big the iceberg is. Under the surface, I think about my purpose. Can I somehow preserve this? Line up the dominoes. A light wind blows. You try to stop it tumbling, but on and on it goes. But wait, if I could shake the crushing weight of expectations, would that free some room up for joy or relaxation or simple pleasure? Instead, we measure this growing pressure. Keeps growing. Keep going. because all we know is pressure, like a drip, drip, drip that never stops. Pressure that'll tip, tip, tip till it just goes pop. Give it to your sister. It doesn't hurt. And see if she can handle every family burden. Watch as she buckles and bends but never breaks. No mistakes, just pressure like a grip, 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 and it won't let go. Pressure like a tick, tick, tick till it's ready to blow. Give it to your sister and never wonder if the same pressure would have pulled you under. Who am I if I don't take what it, if I don't have what it takes? No cracks, no breaks, no mistake, no pressure. I read this song, I listen to the song, and I go, how many times have I felt like I have to be that person that has it all together, that carries the weight and the burden of my family, that has to be that tall sequoia tree when I feel weak? When Paul says that ultimate value and investment is found in Jesus, yet I find all my ultimate joy and value in thinking that I have it all together, thinking that I'm the person who can fix people's mistakes, thinking that I'm the person who can shoulder every burden and every worry of every person that comes my way. And here's the truth for every single one of us. Like, we want to be the perfect dad, the perfect mom. We want to be the perfect husband, wife, partner. We want to be the perfect scholar. We want to have all the knowledge. We want to be able to answer every question that comes our way. But the truth is that every single one of those things, it's impossible for us to be the perfect one. And when we put that pressure on ourselves, something is going to break. Because the roots are not deep. I had this picture, and maybe you can just picture it quickly. You're walking through a forest, and you see two trees exactly the same size, same tallness, same strength, but one is standing up and one has fallen down. And the thing I want to ask you about those two trees is this thought, basically, is... one of those trees' roots went deep and one of those trees' roots didn't. And which tree's roots went deep? Which tree's roots didn't? The one that was standing had deep roots, and the one that was had fallen over had shallow roots. And the conclusion that I came to, and even in the circumstance of my life, the conclusion that I came to is this, is we have this pressure to be the best at all of the things. Yet, if we invest in the roots in our lives, if we invest in them, all of those things will benefit. Our spouses, our families, our kids, our partners, our jobs, our knowledge. If we invest in roots, rooted in Jesus Christ, all of them benefit. And all of that pressure that we just spoke about, it sort of disappears in the midst of that. The last thing I quickly want to say to you is he goes on to speak about thankfulness. So he spoke about Jesus Christ and him alone, continue with him, spoken about being rooted. And the last thing is he speaks about being thankful. The interesting thing with being thankful, I was doing some reading and research. When we speak about thankfulness, it's actually... It's been proven, they've done studies and scans of brains that when we are intentionally thankful every day, it actually boosts dopamine and serotonin. This is very heavily summarized. It reduces stress, improves sleep, builds resilience and emotional control, and strengthens relationships. And I recently chatted to someone as well that every morning they write down 10 things that they're thankful for, and then they tear it up and throw it away. That's just their practice. Thankfulness is so important, and Paul had an inside scoop here on like a brain hack, you know, before the science was proven about that. Paul knew it. In fact, he even said in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. With prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, we've spoken about being rooted and established. We've spoken about following Jesus and living for him. And we've spoken about being thankful every day. These are the things that Paul goes, this is worth investing our lives in. And the last thing I want to say this morning is that Jesus saw that you were worth investing his life in. when he went to the cross, when he saw you from the cross, saw all of our sin, he still went, you are worth dying for. You are worth this investment. Wouldn't you say that that is, like, a person like that is worth investing ourselves in? Jesus invested his very life, a life that didn't deserve to die, a life that we could say in every way was perfect, but he invested it for you and for me. See, Jesus' roots were deep, and Paul's roots were deep, because they were investing in a thing that they knew was worth investing in. They're investing in a thing that they knew would not perish. So my question to you today, as we transition just to respond in worship, is this: where are your roots? How strong are your roots? Are your roots deep? Are there places where God's challenging you in your own life to develop deeper roots in him? Stronger roots, investing in what is worth it. Worship Jesus. How will you allow Jesus to develop those strong roots? Maybe that's a question for you this week. Maybe you as husband and wife want to go and talk about it at home, or as families want to talk about it, or maybe you want to journal that this week. But how are you going to develop stronger roots in your life? What are the things that maybe you need to invest less time in so that you can invest more in the roots of your life? And I also want to say that maybe you're also in the place where you are in awe of Jesus every day and you are well-rooted. The question still remains the same, is like, we can never invest enough in the roots of our lives, in those hidden places, because what develops is something beautiful, something that bears fruit, something that all of the birds of the forest and all of the animals of the trees find shade under. And that all starts from deep roots. So I just want to pray. I think there's prayer team available as well, maybe there. If you need prayer this morning, please, have prayer. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to respond in worship. Lord Jesus, I'm just so sorry for all the times when I've tried to be rooted in myself, all the times when I've tried to be the best dad, the best husband, the best pastor. Lord, all of those things are impossible for me to attain. But what I can do is just continue to steadfastly follow you, to continue to grow deep roots by investing in my relationship with you, by investing in time with fellow believers who build me up. Lord, you are worth it all. Every ounce of my being, you are worth it all. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us in this building today to find that thing that you're asking of us, to just make our roots that little bit deeper this week. Lord, that is surpassing any other thing we can invest our time in. Help us to see that. Let your Holy Spirit help us to move in that direction. In your wonderful name we pray, Jesus. Amen.